Thanks for tuning into our podcast. We love having you here, and it's our mission to bring you all the latest and greatest tips, skills, and know-how to make you the best that you can be. We know that you have it in you, and we're going to show you how. Now, let's get started.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Vicki Dales with Physical Therapy Innovations. Today, we're going to sit and chat with Dr. Elspeth Hart of St. Elizabeth Gymnastic Medicine. Hi, Ellie. How are you?
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be on here.
Right. We're so excited to have you. I know your schedule is very busy, so we appreciate your time coming on and sharing some information with us about what you're doing, what you've been doing. And boy, have you had an exciting year this year. So excited to get right into it. So let's start it kind of at the beginning so people know where you came from as far as gymnastic medicine. My understanding is at age three years old, you started gymnastic medicine and then kind of went a long way that we can talk about, but also suffered some injuries. So that gives you some credibility with your patients.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I started gymnastics, as you said, at the age of three, fell in love with the sport. I did a mommy and me class and just loved it and said, I want to do this for as long as I can. Unfortunately, though, as I got into our Junior Olympic competitive program compulsories, that's when I began to have my injuries. So I'm always happy to talk about them because I think it's really important for patients to understand that as a sports medicine provider, I've had my fair share of injuries. So I can really relate to all athletes who have to be out or have to be in a brace or a cast. And that's part of kind of my theory and my philosophy when I'm talking to patients, giving their diagnosis and educating them. So I started out at the age of eight with a spondy, so stress fracture in my spine. I was put in that bob brace, that plastic hard brace that you can knock on, that I'm sure a lot of your athletes and parents listening have heard of that brace before. And that was kind of the start of the injury. So spondy, I had gymnast wrist, which is a distal radial physeal injury or a Salter-Harris fracture to your wrist. Then I fractured actually my patella. I had patellar tendonitis. I had Osgood-Slaughter's. I had Sinden-Larsson-Johansson all in the knee. Then went on, unfortunately dislocated my shoulder, had two knee surgeries, sprained my ankle more times than I would like to tell you, along with a few fractures in there. Had a couple concussions as well. So almost the full gamut, if you will.
So almost anything, anybody comes in your office, I've been there, I've done that, and here, and look at me now. So to know that you can do the things you're doing now, as we'll get into in a minute, should be inspirational to people who have had injuries, because some of them come in so deflated with those injuries that you just described and think it's career ending, it's over, done with. And it's nice to see that it's not, that you can.
Exactly. I was super fortunate to have really great orthopedic sports medicine care, not only by my surgeons, physicians, PAs, but also I had great physical therapists on board, great athletic trainers. I had a really good crew that kind of kept me together, even mental toughness, sports psych. So really kind of having that multidisciplinary team was so important to my care. The one thing though that I saw that was missing and where I kind of got the idea for gymnastics medicine, even as a young kid, was I would explain, you know, to everybody, I was on beam doing my series of back handspring, brace for layout, step out. And this is what I did. And, you know, the providers were all great, but had no idea what I was talking about. And they would kind of say, oh, that like tumble thing where you roll or you have a ribbon. And I would say, no, let me pull up, let me try to describe it. And of course, back then, right, there was no YouTube, there was no videos on your phone.
Yes.
To keep myself a little bit there. You know, one of the reasons why I think I did kind of have so many injuries, I was just so eager to get back and there was no return to play protocols, no guidelines. It was, oh, you're out of a cast? Okay, go back. And so that's kind of why I think I got stuck, unfortunately, in an injury cycle and why I sort of created gymnastics medicine in this clinic to really give gymnastics specific care from not only your diagnosis and treatment, but also to the return to sport as well.
So. Yes. And also, I know that you do a lot of injury prevention and lectures and education, which is equally important, if not more important. So
Definitely. So, So one of the big things is sort of after kind of starting my clinic and kicking it off, what was really cool, and I was very excited, I'm sure the hospital, the steward system was very excited, patients are coming from everywhere, not just New England, but even West Coast, down South, they were flying in to come see me, which I of course loved, but I said, you know, there shouldn't be this huge financial cost. I need to be educating other medical providers, other people, parents, gymnasts, about how to prevent injuries, how to diagnose these gymnastics specific injuries. And that's kind of how my nonprofit started, which is gymnastics medicine education and research. And so that's been really exciting. That was my big goal this year. We started out in January. This has been amazing to create, like I talked about before, that multidisciplinary team. So the nonprofit not only has physicians, PAs, surgeons, but also physical therapists, athletic trainers, sports nutritionists, sports psych, you know, mental toughness, strength and conditioning, a whole focus with around the athlete as the center, which is where all of our care should be, as the athlete should be right in the center every time, getting the best care possible.
I agree. And that's one of the reasons I enjoy working with you so much. You have a great great collaborative effort. You believe in the whole team, and it kind of gives a whole person approach rather than just let's focus on this injury and move on. So
definitely it's been awesome to share patients and go back and forth. And you know, my biggest thing is I want that open line of communication, you know, with everybody on the team, right? If someone says, hey, you know, Ellie, I saw your patient in PT, it really looks like it could be this, why don't we consider doing this? And same thing on my side, if I say, hey, it looked like they really didn't have that shoulder flexibility, maybe we could work on some more lats or pecs or thoracic mobility. So it's been great to be able to kind of collaborate and talk about those different patients and different cases.
And I appreciate you're very open. You're always inviting people, please come on board. Let's let's get educated together. Let's treat together. So I know the ground rounds that you've been having. I think that's how I met you. I went to a symposium, a gymnastics medicine symposium in November 2019, I believe. And then you had was it your first ground round that you had that time?
That would have been, I think that was our second one that we had done. We did one back in 2018 in September when I first switched over to private practice. A little smaller, little hospital based, and then 2019 went a little bigger at our new facility in Wellesley at the Boston Sports and Performance Institute.
We'll
actually be doing an even bigger one, actually this September, on September 11th and 12th, in Wellesley at the Boston Sports and Performance Center. And what'll be great is you'll get to really see that full multidisciplinary team. It's open to not only medical providers, but also parents, gymnasts, and coaches. And I think the most unique aspect of this is a lot of conferences have either just medical providers, or just geared towards parents, gymnast, coaches. And I think where there's that disconnect, especially in gymnastics, is not everybody is always talking. We're kind of saying, this person says this person says that. And no one's ever coming together and saying, well, let's talk about it all together. And so that's part of the other, you know, part of my practice as well, is including coaches and saying, hey, if I have permission from your parent and your, you know, your athlete, let's all talk together. Let's chat about what's going on. And I think that's been really helpful for coaches too, just because they want to learn. They want to know the knowledge. They just don't quite have the resources to do that.
Exactly. Yes. So how will people find out about on September 11th and 12th? How do they find out? How do they find you and sign up, register, and get there?
Great question. So we actually have a Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook account, all under Gymnastics Medicine. So Twitter, it's at Gymnastics Medicine. On Instagram, it's gymnastics.medicine. And Facebook is Gymnastics Medicine. You can also find our website, gymnasticsmedicine.org, where not only will you hear about our upcoming events that we have, we also have resources. So you can click on if your child has, say, for example, was just diagnosed with a spondy, you know, what is that? What does that mean for her, him or her? So there's actually sections you can click on to learn about that specific injury, which is really cool, along with some helpful tips and tricks and sheets, as well as we have blogs about different multi-specialties. So if you want to keep learning, there's a lot to click on that website.
Excellent. So we'll add that into our notes afterwards so people have a resource to go to. So that's perfect. Now also tell us about your facility. I haven't been there yet, but I'm anxious to get there. With COVID, everything kind of, it was hard to get in anywhere. So yeah. I know your facility is state of the art. I know you have, gymnastic specific equipment in there. So you can actually not just talk about what they're doing, but you can actually see them perform and critique it and see what prevent injuries. And so tell us about that.
Yeah, so I'm very fortunate to be able to do this at two sites right now. So the first is at St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Brighton, Massachusetts. I actually have a separate room on the orthopedic floor where we have an air track, a balance beam, and a small bar. So gymnasts, for example, can show their technique on their back walkover, their back handspring. How they, jump and land, so looking at landing mechanics. When you hang on a bar, are we going with hyperextended elbows? How are you holding your front support? So it's really cool just as you were saying, to kind of see those skills. And I think that was the big sort of lack in the field of not only just sports medicine, but even just orthopedics, is that progression back. And saying, how do we prevent this in the future? I have that facility, which is really cool. And then I split my time actually in Wellesley at the Boston Sports and Performance Institute. And there, what is amazing is I actually have my multidisciplinary team in that area. So we actually have some physical therapists that are right across the hall from us. We have a whole strength and conditioning facility. And so I actually have a bigger space. So I joke that in Brighton, I have my younger gymnasts go there because the ceiling's a little low. And then my older, higher level gymnasts, we go to Wellesley because the ceilings are very high. So I'm actually able to take the bar over there. I have another air track over there, a bunch of panel mats that are out there. So we can recreate different sequences, tumble passes, series, leaps, jumps, and turns, and look at those different biomechanics to, again, assess not only that injury, but also how to prevent that injury, which I think is so key in the sport of gymnastics.
No, I totally agree. So I don't think there's any other facility in the United States like it.
I tell everyone I would love to help you set it up in other states. So if you are interested in doing this and this is what you want to do with your sort of life, your passion, your clinic, I am more than happy to share ideas, collaborate, and have a bunch of gymnastics medicine centers kind of pop up all throughout the U.S. I think it would be invaluable actually to be able to do that. And I just feel so lucky that I have two sites that I can do that.
I know, right? Exactly. That's amazing.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know who believed in me that much, but I love them for doing it.
Well, I'm sure you put a lot of hard work into it and use resources and things like that. So congratulations.
Thank you.
So you also, I don't know if a lot of people know, you were an athletic trainer first. So you kind of climbed the rungs to get where you wanted to go. So tell us how you got to where you are.
Yeah, so to kind of continue on my story from starting earlier, so had all those injuries, and that's what got me interested actually in sports medicine. I was very fortunate to be able to actually go to college at James Madison and do Division I college gymnastics and do athletic training. So very busy schedule that was there, but I loved it. That's where I knew how to treat somebody, if someone went down on the sidelines, and now in this case, down at a gymnastics competition, how do you assess, how do you treat that? What do you do? That's also where I learned a lot of my orthopedic physical exams. And with athletic training, you do a lot of clinical hours. So with those clinical hours, it kind of got me thinking, I love doing this. I love being at competitions. I love being on the sidelines at games. But I kind of said, I'm not sure this is the exact life that I want to lead. I knew that I wanted to continue my education. I wasn't sure, what exactly that was going to be. And then I happened to actually have a friend who was a PA, so a physician assistant. And I talked with her. I said, what do you do? What is this PA thing? And she said, well, it's really all about kind of providing education to your patients. And I said, I like this idea. I like giving education and resources. And I kind of weighed the options. I said, do I want to go into PT? Because I had gone to PT since I was probably about 8 years old. Exactly. And I loved PT, but I said, I think I want to be maybe in the OR, so the operating room. And then I said, I don't know if I want to be an orthopedic surgeon. No offense to any ortho surgeons out there, but as you can kind of hear and see, I'm a little more bubbly than maybe a traditional ortho surgeon. It's not to say there aren't any bubbly ortho surgeons. I really felt that kind of my personality when it came down to it and what I wanted to do, PA was actually probably the best fit that I could have picked. So I went on, got my master's at Mass College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences in Boston. And then I actually first started working for Dr. Lyle McKaylee over at Boston Children's. And I was his PA. I love Dr. McKaylee. He is fantastic. Yep. He taught me, you know, how to assess a patient, how to understand these complex cases, how to approach a patient, how to approach a family, you know, how to give a hard diagnosis and, you know, educate and really explain. So I owe a lot to him in my career. So Dr. McKaylee, if you ever listen, thank you very much. And what was really cool over at Children's is it just, again, kind of happened at random that I started just seeing gymnasts throughout his clinic. And, you know, the gymnast would say, oh, it's so nice to not have to explain what my vault is and what my series is. You know, can I come start seeing you? Can I come start having you treat me? And that's sort of where kind of this idea of really creating this clinic started. And I was able to do what I called the injured gymnast clinic over at Children's, and that started to grow. And that's when sort of St. Elizabeth's and the Stewart facility had sort of heard about this clinic and sort of made an offer that I really couldn't refuse. So I switched over to private practice now 3 years ago with the Stewart system.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
How it grew.
Yeah, and then it just grew from there. And then I, you know, I started doing a lot of research as well while I was at Children's. And I really saw the importance of actually getting a doctorate degree as well. So about 2 years ago now, I finished up my doctorate degree. So I did a doctorate of physician assistant studies. So that way when I, you know, do my research and I submit, it's Dr. Elspeth Hart.
And that's important. So tell us about your research.
I owe a lot to Dr. McKaylee. He's kind of the guy who got me into research. He said, if you want to be an expert in the field, you have to do research. You have to understand what is out there. What is everyone doing? What holes or gaps need to be filled? So the first thing I actually started with was a literature review. And I really combed the literature for the past 20 years on every gymnastics paper that was ever written. You can imagine that was a very lengthy and lofty assignment.
Yes.
But what was really cool and unique is by doing that and starting there, which I do recommend everyone to do, is start with the literature review, because it really helped me see how many holes and gaps we have in gymnastics and medicine and treating a gymnast and an athlete, you know, from a true gymnastics perspective. There was a ton that we were missing. And I like to think that I practice with evidence-based medicine, and there really wasn't a lot of evidence-based medicine on particularly gymnasts and gymnastics. So that's where I started. It is a really great paper if anyone's ever interested. It's called The Young Injured Gymnast. It is quite long. I will throw that out there, but it is very helpful. It kind of reviews over sort of the top five injuries in each body system and body part.
Okay.
Gives you a little basic information about just general most common injuries, most common event a gymnast is injured on. And like I said, it was really cool to do that first study because it helped me see, you know, what are we missing? What can I do? What can I kind of see from there?
Right.
Which is very unique. And then the next study that we did was essentially like a retrospective chart review on gymnasts and concussions. So just looking back on the chart, which was sort of the next, I don't want to say easiest research to do, but sort of the next step in a research project is kind of getting a little more towards that original research, reviewing over charts. That is, we are still trying to get that one published, but we're working on it.
All right. And that's actually one of the subjects of your next ground round coming up next month.
It is concussion.
So,
So coming up next month, I believe it is. Let me look at the calendar. I don't want to tell you the wrong date there.
Yeah, I don't have that down.
It's on August 15th will be our next grand round. So it'll be actually on gymnasts and concussions.
Yeah.
And was really cool on my board, one of the speakers, Dr. Shannon Bauman, she actually started a concussion clinic in Canada, has since moved to the States, but she has a daughter who's a very high level gymnast. So she actually has helped develop actually the Canadian guidelines for concussions and athletes.
Okay.
This has been really cool. Yeah. And not a lot of people know this, but the FIG, or Federation of International Gymnastics, as well as USA Gymnastics, actually used her guidelines to format their guidelines about concussion. So it's really cool to have an expert that'll be there who designed the protocol.
That's exciting. I'm looking forward to that very much.
That would be really cool.
So we'll, Yeah, so I've seen a couple of your ground rounds. I missed a couple of them, but they are just, they're amazing. First of all, you go through information. You have a lot of specialists from all over the country, and obviously, then afterwards you break off into groups, either medical professionals, parents, gymnasts, and you do breakouts on there. And I think it's very educational. It's interactive, so I think it's something that everybody should at least check out at least once, and I'm sure they'll come back.
Right, now we are offering it for free for Grand Rounds.
I know.
No cost to attend.
And
like I said, our goal with the nonprofit and working with my board is, you know, we want it to be accessible to everyone. We want there to be no barriers in care or education. So we want you to be able to attend and learn and grow and ask questions. And just as you mentioned, those breakout sessions have been really cool to do. The medical provider section usually has like a case presentation that we go over. And then the gymnast parents coaches section, we try to give like quick high yield facts. Most recently, we had a high yield fact on how do you make sure you have enough vitamin D. So that was from our sports nutritionist, which was really cool. We had a return to play protocol that we talked about for elbow injuries. So it's been really cool to be able to show these different highlights that are there.
Like I said, everybody should check it out, and I'm sure that once they're on there, they will attend all of them because it's very informative. So
we'd love to have everyone.
Now, as I keep looking at your shirt, so we'll get into that first. So first of all, that logo, that's relatively new. Am I incorrect about that?
It's new. It is new in the sense that this is our gymnastics medicine logo here. I'll try to get a little closer for those to be able to see it.
Yeah.
It is also, which I'm sure we'll touch upon as well, my American Ninja Warrior logo as well, which I'll get to in just a second.
There you go.
Because for those listening, I am, or I was sort of featured, if you will, I was selected to be on season 13 of American Ninja Warrior, which coincided kind of right with actually kicking off my nonprofit. So I figured, why wouldn't I wear my nonprofit logo, you know, as a my runs on national television. So the way that I designed the logo, so our colors right now, and don't worry to any males out there, we will be branching out to the male division shortly, but right now we do have a more female dominant logo. We have the pink color for to represent, you know, women and empowerment, just the color that everyone feels sort of happy and strong in. The purple is actually a shout out to my alma mater, James Madison.
That makes sense.
The purple and gold. Then we have the heart shape. So not only for my last name, Heart, but also because whatever you do have to have heart as you do it and always put your heart forward.
There you go.
The stethoscope to represent medicine, and the gymnast in the middle to represent our gymnast that we're treating and caring for. And she is purposefully in the center because that is how we take care of our athletes. It is athlete-centered, athlete-focused. That's where we want our athlete always in the center and always with our heart.
A lot of thought into that logo. So
there was. It was a lot of fun designing. I will throw that out there. That was probably one of my favorite things to do.
I love it.
Thank you. There may or may not be some legging t-shirt / leotard designs coming out soon with this logo.
And I have my t-shirt. Are they still available?
Yes, they will be still available. We're going to resell them kind of when we do our lecture in person in September. And then we'll actually have some new designs as well.
Perfect. Right. Now, back to Ninja Warrior.
Yes! So,
I was very excited to hear about this. I know you couldn't talk about it for the longest time, so I was waiting to hear. You weren't allowed to speak of it.
Yeah, I know.
That must be really hard not to talk to your friends and your family.
I will say this. So what they did is, so the way that you get onto Ninja Warrior, for those who are interested in ever applying, is you submit a short video between 3 and kind of 4 to 5 minutes, just about, you know, who you are, show your training videos, and then why you kind of should be on the show. So what's sort of your catch or pitch, if you will. And then you also fill out an online application that asks you, I swear, more questions than my college application did. So they want to know everything about you.
Wow.
And then hopefully your fingers are crossed and you get the call. They do not give you much notice. I will tell everyone that.
Wow.
It's usually only where between 4 and 6 weeks notice. So you kind of have to be training ninja all kind of throughout the year. So that way you're ready kind of at any time, if you will, to be pulled onto the show.
Yeah.
And this year what they did is they actually flew us all out to Seattle, Washington. Mm-hmm. And they had the first rounds at what's called the Tacoma Dome. And everybody, when they go, you do what's called B-roll, which is where they film you and, you know, they ask you questions and they interview, yeah. You wear your logo, yeah. You know, you stand with your arms crossed, you show your muscles, all yeah. Those different fun things. Yeah. You kind of intro, if you will. Yeah. And then sort of you have a few days in between and then you go do your run. Yeah. And what's really unique about ninja, and this is true for all ninja competitions, is you don't get to actually touch the equipment before you start. Okay. So for those of you who are familiar with gymnastics, you have your four events, you have your four routines for women, you practice them over and over and over again, and then you compete them.
Yes.
And that's how it is. With ninja, it is you show up and they say, this is the course. And
then,
and they say, what questions do you have? And then if you're lucky, there is someone who shows you, just one person, and it could be a male or a female, and you don't know who these people are, they just show it. And then you get to, like I said, ask your questions. And then they say, okay, Ellie, you are number 22, so you're gonna run and be ready for that time. And then off you go. Wow. So, wow. Yes.
So yeah. you can be all prepared, but you're not prepared.
Correct, exactly. So I do a lot of visualization, which is back from my gymnastics days, and very quick visualization, like, okay, here we go. This is what I have to picture to get that buzzer, yeah. Hit it. And what's kind of unique about the experience this year is, of course, you couldn't have fans still due to COVID. In order to keep it a secret, I actually was allowed to have my mom and dad, as well as my brother, my sister-in-law, and two of my best friends actually watch sort of the whole thing go down, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
I just have a couple people I could talk to, and my grandparents were watching too.
Okay, that's good.
I had a very small circle that I could chat with all about the results that were there.
Yeah.
And it was a great experience. I can say how I did because for those of you also listening, I unfortunately will not be featured. They film about 80 people a segment and they really only show about 5 to 15 people on the show. So unfortunately I was not selected, but that's okay. I'll still reapply next year.
I was going to say, you're going to try again next year.
I will. Of course I will.
That's right.
It was a really fun experience, yeah. But I was able to get to the second obstacle. So they were the first one, I was in the middle of the second one, and I went to swing, or we call it a liche in ninja. And
okay.
I forgot that the bar spins on you.
Oh.
Which is a key point to know if a bar is going to spin or not. And I just peeled right off and off I fell into the water. So.
Wow. It was probably the longest fall of your life. Right?
It felt like I was literally falling for like 10 minutes. It was probably only about a second.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
But it was a great experience. Yeah. And I'm hoping to be sort of on the show again next year. And I really was only training for about 6 months kind of officially. So I'm excited because I sort of know that I can do better. And I know that I'm, you know, hopefully going to get picked again if I keep working hard. There's no stopping me from hitting a buzzer and I'm ready to do it.
Right. I don't doubt that at all. And you actually did very well in, tell us about the American Ninja, where you did place third place in the national world champs.
For part of ninja, so similar to gymnastics and other sports, you know, there's not just one league that you participate in. So there's American Ninja Warrior, the show, and then there's the National Ninja League. So we actually had our national world championships. It would have been now, I think it's 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I ended up actually ranking as the third best adult female ninja and also the third strongest adult female ninja.
Congratulations. That's amazing. So
thank you. I was very excited with it. It was a great course that was put on. My favorite thing though, I think, was this was my time where I got to hang out with so many other great adult female ninjas and, you know, make these great bonds and talk with everyone. And it's a really cool, inclusive community, similar to gymnastics. You know, if you're a gymnast, if you tell someone you're a gymnast and they're a gymnast, you instantly bond. Same with ninja. If you say, hey, I do ninja at this gym, and I do ninja at this gym, then instantly you're bonded again.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been really cool. It's been a really nice new community to be a part of. It also, I can give a little detail to the future, has maybe sparked a little something I like to call ninja medicine.
That makes sense.
Exactly. A little up and comer, if you will. So I sort of divulged a little early secrets, but I unfortunately have seen, myself hasn't had too many ninja injuries, but I've seen a lot of ninja injuries.
I would imagine.
Exactly. And falls. There's a, I don't know if this is good or bad, there's a running joke when I'm at a competition that no one has to worry because the orthopedist is here. So I'm not sure if I feel good or bad about that choice, but they're like, Ellie's here, so we're not concerned. Yeah. We don't need anything else. We're good. Yeah. And I will be honest with you, I had to put a shoulder back in on one of my first competitions. Someone dislocated their shoulder, and I politely asked the gentleman if he would like me to put it back in. He said yes, and off we did it.
Wow. That had to be pretty amazing as you're in there taking care of those guys.
It was very unique to do that, especially because it must have been after I had done my like ninja run. So I was just hanging out, and someone all of a sudden started yelling, "Where's Ellie? Where's Ellie?" And I was like, "I'm right here."
They have to invite you back.
It's been exciting, and it's cool too. I also do cover for USA Gymnastics as part of their medical staff. Mm-hmm. I'm currently in, I want to say it's either my fourth or fifth year. That COVID year really threw my timing off, so.
That's understandable. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
And that's been really exciting for me. As everyone has sort of been aware, USA Gymnastics, really had a terrible, terrible situation happen to them. There were too many things that were not investigated, not looked into. The athlete was not the center, not the focus.
Right.
And part of sort of being on their what we call contracted staff, so meaning I get assigned to different, whether it's a camp or a competition, they sort of select you to then do that. I felt like this was going to be my way to give back truly to the gymnastics community. Have a provider who is in the sport, went through the system, is now in medicine, has this gymnastics specific clinic, because my goal is for this to never happen, not only to these athletes, but to any athletes ever again.
Absolutely.
It's unfortunate. I had some friends who were affected personally. So from my perspective, I want to be there every second to make sure this never happens. And I, whether it's good or bad, I'm the one who will, stand up for my athlete no matter what, even if it puts me in a bad situation. My athlete is my focus. That's who I'm in charge of. And I want them to feel safe, and I want them to feel like their medical provider is looking out for them and wants what's best for them, not only now, but 20 years from now. And I think that's a huge thing that we need to grasp, not only in gymnastics, but all young athletic sports is, you got to be a functioning adult when you finish your athletic career.
Absolutely. Yes.
So that was sort of my reason for getting involved with them. And I actually just came back, well, I wouldn't say just, maybe a few weeks ago, came back from an international assignment. So that was actually my first one. Usually I just stay in the U.S. So I went to the Junior Pan Am Games as the women's medical provider. So that was really cool.
How was that?
It was amazing. It was really cool. I'll tell you one thing. It was no vacation, though. everyone, my colleagues were laughing at the hospital saying, "Oh, you're going to Mexico. You're going to come back so tan. This and that." Yeah. And I said, "I think you guys are misunderstanding what I'm doing." I said, "I'm going as their medical provider, not as like a chaperone or hangout."
Yeah, you didn't get to take your surfboard or.
I did not, exactly. There was no surfboards. Yeah. I was taken along there. And it was a very sort of rigorous, but a great schedule in the sense that, we all woke up, went down, had breakfast together. Then we went to the gym, did either a practice or whether it was a competition day. Then we'd come back and everyone together would eat lunch. And if anybody needed any treatments or there was any injuries that occurred, we would evaluate them during that time. Then usually there was like either an afternoon practice or afternoon competition, depending on the day. Then come back, of course, have dinner all together, which really reminded me back of my, JMU college days, sort of everybody traveling together, being together.
Right.
Then if anyone needed anything at night, treatment-wise, diagnostic-wise, we would do it then. And that was kind of every day that we did from kind of Monday through Sunday.
So
pretty busy schedule.
Yeah, your schedule is busy. I kind of follow you on social media, and you seem to always be doing either something work-wise or fun-wise. But
it is, exactly. Everyone says I work hard and I play hard, which is a true statement. If you want to get some funny laughs, usually at Elspeth Hart on Instagram, usually it's a pretty funny story. I try to only put, you know, very positive, uplifting, kind of funny things. I think my last story was a post at 4:30 in the morning on Monday, actually, when I had to go in as my on-call shift to reduce a fracture, but also gave a PSA to everyone that it was raining really hard at 4:30 in the morning.
Yes, that's good. That's good to know.
Successful reduction, and it's raining at 4:30 in the morning.
It's never boring in your world.
Never boring.
So, and speaking of that, so the other things that you do that look, you know, that I do some of them, but not as well as you. You snowboard, you surf. I think you, I even saw something of you wakeboarding. Anything that's moving, you're on it. So
it's true. I was super fortunate that my parents, you know, though I love gymnastics, they said you have to be well-rounded, you have to be able to do other sports, other athletics. I have an older brother who I look up to. He's one of my best friends. He's fantastic, great role model. And he played every sport you could ever think of, literally every sport. And of course, being the younger sister, I wanted to tag along and play. So I learned how to play men's lacrosse, not women's lacrosse.
Wow.
I played baseball for a little bit with him. And he was a big surfer, skateboarder. So I kind of learned from him. My dad was a big surfer, skateboarder as well. And then we actually all grew up skiing. And then it was actually after college that I started snowboarding. Speaking of kind of injuries lasting into adulthood, unfortunately, my two knee surgeries that I had prevented me from trying skiing. Kind of after college, I tried to go back to it, and my knee just hurt way too much skiing. And I knew that I wanted to find another sport. So I walked to the shop and said, I'd like to trade my skis for a snowboard. And the gentleman said, do you know how? And I said, no, but I'm going to figure it out. So went to a little bunny hill and started just practicing. And I've loved it ever since.
Well, that's similar. That's how I got into snowboarding. I blew up my ACL snow skiing. I hit a rock and my ski didn't pop off. My bunny didn't let go. So I ended up, I'm going to snowboard because I felt like I was safer. I know that's not true, but don't talk about it. So.
Hey, I feel safer too, so don't worry.
but I'll tell you what, gravity is harder and the ground is harder when you're not in your, you know, teens, you're more in your 30s or so. I would fall on that. And this bunny slope was the worst place to learn because it was so icy.
There is nothing there.
And there's people that can't, they don't know what they're doing. So they're running over you or falling and you can't stop. And I was like, this is the worst thing. So the best thing I did was go away from the bunny slope. When I fell harder coming down other slopes. But that was fun. So
And I'll be honest with you. So when I first started learning, I have been given a warning that your butt and wrists were the two biggest risks of injury. So I actually would tape my wrists instead of wearing wrists, I tape them. And then I actually got a motocross butt pad. So that way it wouldn't hurt.
You don't still wear that, do you?
Nope, I don't. Okay. but it saved me in the beginning and truly kind of made me love it. And surfing was kind of what I had grown up doing. I was very lucky that my parents, they sort of would take us on vacation every summer for 2 to 3 weeks. We'd either go to Cape Cod or Rhode Island. And it always filled with beach stuff, boogie boarding, surfing, skimboarding. And so it was just awesome to have that break, which again, thinking back to gymnastics, you know, that was my parents' choice. And what we hear a lot from a lot of athletes who specialize early is, you know, I don't take vacation. I don't take a break. I'm going year round 24/7. I never have a break. And you know, I think that's probably one of the reasons why I was so successful in the sport and kind of able to do college gymnastics, because I took that break. I took a time to rest and do other things and kind of be a young child, not just a young athlete, a young child. So
I'm sure that's something you promote to your patients yep. or the ones, the gymnasts who come to you for injury prevention and things like that. So
I do. Yeah, so. Definitely. And I try to encourage gymnasts too. So as we're in the summertime right now, not only for gymnasts, but for all athletes, right? They're in these camps that they're there from 8 a.m. until 3 or 4, when normally they're doing maybe 10, 12, 14 hours. Now they're doing 24 hours of athletics. So I try to encourage a different variety of activities. So, you know, if you're a soccer athlete and you're doing soccer camp, well, take the middle day off and go swimming. Do something that's essentially non-impact, non-pounding, or, you know, yoga is great. Pilates, they're great. They're all these great alternative exercises that will help your training that doesn't have to be as sport specific as what you're doing all the time. So.
Yeah, we preach that all the time.
Yeah,
so exactly. Some people buy into it and some people don't. So.
Yeah, no, it's totally true. Well, I mean, I find that's the same thing too with even sort of sports psych and mental toughness. I've really tried to promote that in my clinic. I was very lucky that my mom saw that I had essentially a mental block, if you will, with doing my vault. I didn't have a fall. I didn't have an injury. Just I would run down the runway and then I would just stop. And my mom said, what's happening? You know, you did this vault a week ago. Did the coaches say something? Is something going on? I said, nope. I said, I'm not sure. I don't know how to go vault. I'm stuck. And, you know, a lot of gymnasts complain of going backwards. That's a fear of theirs. And my mom said, well, let's look into this. Let's see what we can do to help you. And we were actually able to bring in a sports psych into the gym, actually. So he did a talk and a lecture on, you know, mental blocks, mental toughness, how to get over those mental blocks. And that's when I started like visualizing my routines and visualizing, you know, how I wanted to see myself succeeding. And I talked to my gymnast about that. I say, I've been in your shoes, you know, I've had this happen to me. And it's normal to ask for help. And I think that's the hardest part about a lot of athletes is they don't want to ask for that help.
Right.
So I sort of preemptively put that already in their head when I first meet them, like, we got a team. This is who we need. We want this person on there.
Yeah.
And it's been great because, you know, it's a really good, not only life, like athlete skill, but life skill as well that you can take kind of anywhere, which is great.
Yes. Yeah. So, well, what's next for you?
Yeah.
Besides Ninja Warrior.
Yeah. I know. Everyone's like, what's your next move? You know, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So my new sport, so another fun fact about me is every year I try to learn either a new hobby, a new sport, just something to kind of keep myself always learning and always engaged. And so one of the things that I'm learning this year, I don't know how successful I am at the moment, but I have everything I need to be successful, is actually playing golf. So golf is my new hobby. I am learning how to play. I figured it would be a good alternative instead of my hanging and pushing and ninja, sort of a swinging motion. And so that is my new hobby that I am learning this summer. My brother is actually my coach, which is very cool.
That's nice. Right.
Yep. He was actually a Division I golfer in college, so he's got some good tips.
Yes, he should. Yeah, listen to your brother. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's actually a hard game. I took that up a couple of months ago, and I thought, how hard can this be? You hit the ball, and it makes sense. And I'm the best at finding water that anybody will ever meet in your life. But so I'm still practicing mine. See, that's really a hard game. That takes a lot. You know, you don't think, oh, that's, you're an athlete, but actually there's a lot involved in that. So.
There is. Yes. Yeah. There was a lot more footwork than I thought, a lot more body twisting than I thought you could connect the ball. And,
happened. Get your aggressions out and the ball flies and you're good to go. But it's not that way. It's actually, actually need skill.
Right. It's so true. Exactly. That's my current new sport hobby to learn. And then kind of on the side, I'm finishing up some research papers. So our other research paper is actually on wrist guards. So in gymnastics, there are some gymnasts that wear, they're called a tiger paws or skid wrist guards or easy wrap wrist guards. And no one had done a study that said, what are these wrist guards doing? And so we were actually able to put 3D markers on the gymnast, force plates in the ground, and have them do something called a back handspring, which is where you're jumping backwards, putting your hands on the ground, then flipping your feet over. you know, with the different kinds of wrist guards, with no wrist guards. And it was really cool to be able to do that. That was an original study to design it from start to finish was just so cool.
That is cool.
To kind of see, all those pieces come together. So we're in the process of trying to get it published. So I'm not sure how much I can say besides.
Okay.
Wrist guards, they do limit kind of wrist extension, which, you know, if you're trying to limit wrist extension, that could be helpful. However, they are increasing the wrist moment, which of course a moment is tied to increased injury. Now, the hard part about this study is unlike studies on ACL or UCL injuries in the elbow, there's no studies on what's the highest moment you could have in the wrist to not have an injury. And so we're trying to sort of tie these things together and pull these different ideas, talk to different experts about biomechanics is how do we tie this back to gymnastics? Because there's no normative values. There's no cadaver studies of a cadaver, bending their wrist back and forth multiple times.
Right.
So we're trying to sort of hone in on how we can help the gymnastics community with this new information. So hopefully there'll be a publication soon.
Okay. We'll be looking for that because that's important. We see a lot of those injuries. So.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, as I'm sure you do. So that's amazing.
So that's one of the really cool studies that'll be coming out really soon. And then a great one that actually will have, I can't believe how many studies I'm going to say comes out of this one study, but about 8 to 10 studies are actually going to be coming out from one survey that we've done with sort of patients in clinic, just asking some general info. So we have some demographic studies about injuries, injury rates, events that are causing injury, but then also looking at your level and the type of injury you could have. Looking at female athlete and red S, related to gymnastics injuries. Looking at the mental aspect of gymnastics and having an injury. So really using all those different multidisciplinary approaches to create these sort of unique individualized studies that again tie right back to gymnastics, which I'm super excited about.
It sounds very exciting. You guys are doing a lot, so I'm anxious to watch and see what comes out and hopefully participate in some of the research, education and research that you guys do. So happy to do that.
I always love to collaborate, so I'm always happy to, hear from anyone, shoot me an email, shoot me an Instagram message, reach out to the nonprofit. I will say my sort of email back time has started to lengthen just due to volume.
I used to give
myself 24 hours. Now I put in a little disclaimer, 72 hours.
There you go. So you don't disappoint.
Exactly. So don't worry if you haven't heard from me within 24. Usually 72 is now my greatest.
That seems fair. That seems very fair.
I do on-call, take on-call for ortho. So that's always a little bit of a struggle with my current schedule is taking call for the department can be tough when you're trying to manage a few other things. So,
so as an athlete that you participate in a lot of different things, you've had a ton of injuries. Uh-huh. What words of advice would you give to these younger athletes who are just starting out? What words of wisdom can you give them to give them hope, inspiration to continue?
And
succeed.
Definitely. So one of the quotes that I loved, and to be totally honest, I don't know where I heard this quote from, but sort of when I was getting ready to have my second knee surgery, I was about 12, 13 years old. And my mom said, we're going to be done with gymnastics. This is your second knee surgery. You are 12, 13 years old. You got a whole life ahead of you. We can't let this knee affect you. And I looked at her and I said, Mom, the only risk in life is not taking one. And so from that perspective, right, this little tiny little 13-year-old, my mom was like, what? and I'm a pretty bubbly, not crazy serious. She was like, who is this child that is talking to me? One of my things in life is always looking at the risks and benefits, right? So, the young athlete having injuries, I knew there was risks involved, but I knew that there was going to be benefit once I healed, once I listened to my medical team, how do I get back? How do I get better? How do I get stronger? How can I use this experience and shape it for something later in life? And I hope to kind of inspire the next generation of young gymnasts who maybe have injuries and want to go into medicine, and be able to have all these different avenues and things that they can look into. So I would say, you know, if you are injured and you're struggling, just know that there are resources out there, as well as you're going to get back there. This is a bump in the road of your really long journey. And though 2 weeks, 6 weeks, 3 months might seem like an eternity to you right now, when you look back on those times, you will not remember your time in your bob brace. So don't worry.
Exactly. Or your time in PT.
Or PT. So, yeah. That is true. I love my PTs. When I was going through, I was incredibly fortunate to be set up with a great team. I lived in the Boston area, so I was very lucky that I was set up with people and they were able to get me in right away, which is always helpful with your crew. You get my guys in right away, which I really appreciate. And that's, you know, so important to care, is being able to have that access to care.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's recap how people can get in touch with you. So that they can find you, any whether that wants to, whether it's a patient or someone who wants to collaborate or someone who wants to join Ground Rounds.
Yeah, that would be great. So happy to give my email. So my email is gymnasticsmedicine@gmail.com. So the word gymnastics, the word medicine @gmail.com. That's the easiest way. If you're a patient and you want to get in touch with me, you want to help on some research projects, help with the nonprofit, that's probably the easiest way to get me. If you want to follow for some fun content, we are on Twitter, Gymnastics Medicine. We're on Instagram, gymnastics.medicine. Then we have our website, gymnasticsmedicine.org, and our Facebook, Gymnastics Medicine. Those are probably the easiest ways. If you want to have a good laugh, @ElspethHart on Instagram usually has a pretty funny story too.
There you go. Exactly. Well, thank you very much for taking out time and talking to us and our audience. So I appreciate it and would love to have you again. Maybe we can set up a time to talk to about some specific injuries or things like that too. So
yeah, definitely.
And definitely.
You let me know. Just give me a little bit of advance notice and we can pencil it in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we will talk to you again when you are getting ready to go on America Ninja Warrior so we can figure out what's going on and maybe steal some secrets from you. I know we can't, but
try to get those secrets out.
Yeah, I will try. No, I understand
it was hard to keep it for a little bit, but now I'm allowed to. So
exactly. Now you're okay. So yeah.
Perfect.
Well, thanks again. We look forward to seeing the research you have coming out there and seeing all those programs that you're putting out. So thanks again.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you so much for taking such great care of our athletes. I really appreciate everything.
Love to do it. We love working with you and your team. It's been wonderful. So.
Thanks.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us and tune in next time.
Please be advised that this podcast is meant for educational and informational purposes only and is in no way a replacement for legal or medical advice. The opinions contained within are solely those of the interviewers and interviewees and should be received as so. Those seeking help or advice are encouraged to obtain professional legal and medical services.